Welcome to Beer Fueled, where we continue to struggle with technology. I am your host at Beer Fueled Hop with two P's on X, joined by at Beer Fueled Theory at Ryan Miner underscore FFP. My apologies to anybody that checked in at some weird point during that 7-day live stream that was running last week and heard like a work call or whatever I might have been watching or listening to on my personal computer. Or there was some podcast live stream the other day. You might have heard me singing at some point. I don't know. I have no idea. That is one of the most embarrassing, and I feel violated and invaded myself and traumatized. Yeah, I just want it. Please, one of you guys talk. Say something.
Something.
Cheeseburgers.
Burgers.
Where's that from?
Denny's.
Mm-hmm. Terrible. Terrible. Let's talk about McDonald's for a second.
Oh, that, I forgot about that. Oh, fuck McDonald's.
Well, fuck McDonald's.
All right.
Well, they got something right. Next episode.
McDonald's. So
fuck McDonald's.
Where, you know, I joined this league that Hopper invited me to. It's a bunch of his other buddies, and they do a destination draft. You know, they rent out an Airbnb. They do a whole thing of it, and we're at Saturday. This is past Saturday, so Saturday night. We're all hungry. We've been drinking all day. Some people have been smoking all day. And I we needed something to eat. So I DoorDash McDonald's or tried to DoorDash McDonald's. I ordered, I think it was 6 McDoubles and 6 McChickens. And
for yourself?
No, for all everybody.
No, for four of us.
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
And I was pretty hungry. they fucking canceled it. They gave no explanation. They just canceled it. It's a 24-hour McDonald's.
They're not closed.
They're not closed. They're literally
said no.
Like they're probably 5 minutes from us. So the driver didn't even have to go far. So I mean, I guess that doesn't matter. But either way, they just canceled the order. And I sat there. And I'm like, they fucking canceled my order. We go crazy. And then thankfully, Wendy's saves the fucking day. Yeah. Wendy's the true hero.
I looked at you and said, Wendy's would never. And you're like, I'm going to order fucking Wendy's.
I'm going to order fucking Wendy's.
And Wendy's.
And you know what they did? They came.
They delivered.
Because that's what Wendy's does. Wendy's takes care of you. And that is why I'm in the Wendy's division of SFP 13 right there.
Oh, that's right. You are.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
It was a sign.
Indeed. Hey, Dan, you paying attention to Worlds at all?
A little bit. A little bit.
The men's field is totally clustered together with Grady Shoe up top of all people.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the leaderboard.
Have you seen the FPL leaderboard?
Yeah.
Kristen is lapping everybody.
Because she's the best disc golfer.
By a lot.
By a mile. I think in both. I think I want her to compete
in the MPO. Because I bet want she'd cash. I guarantee she'd cash.
She wouldn't win,
but she'd cash. But yeah, without Paige there. Playing at the top of her game to push her, there's just nobody close. Missy's in second and 8 strokes down.
Yeah, it's what we're watching is the Tiger Woods equivalent during his run in the early 2000s. Like, it's just Kristen Tatar just dominating everybody.
There's 3 rounds left. We saw her do a +8 at the European Open, but that's what it's. She's going to have that type of terrible round for the rest of the field to come back on this one, or somebody's going to have to absolutely catch fire and string together multiple hot rounds.
And you don't typically see that in the women's rounds because they almost play the same courses. There's some of them that are obviously the tee box are going to be closer, but typically they're just as hard as the men's, and you just don't see the women's have the same type of shrieks. I'll sign up to Tar because she's on a whole nother level.
I haven't watched. It's a 5-round tournament. I'm not watching the first 2 rounds, but here through the weekend, I probably will. And my Lord, like at least keep it close. I want something to watch.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to wrap up training camp this week. So, we are done. Roster cutdowns are done. So we get you all caught up on camp cuts and who's where, who landed on practice squads, who that has at least name cachet around here. got cut. We've got a lot of news to get into. There were trades. There were not trades.
Shocking about some of those that easily predicted.
And we'll do our final ADP check before we get into the regular season. But first, as always, for the last time, in the this offseason.
Oh, it's like
this offseason. Actually,
trying to tell me something?
No, for the last time this offseason, we're exactly the 1 year to go, Mark. So for the last time this offseason, let's go ahead and find out what we're drinking.
What's fueling beer fueled?
Does it feel weird knowing that starting next week we'll be starting last, like last evers?
It feels,
I didn't say bad, I just said weird.
This in itself is a milestone. I mean, there's going to be some of those last doing the regular season and last, I mean, I'm just fucking happy never do the regular season again, but...
Yeah,
I mean, it's not going to probably hit me until the regular season's done. It's just going to, oh my God, the last reward show we ever do.
It'll hit me on the last draft class, I think, is what it'll get me. Because
I'll actually try.
That's literally the reason I pay attention. So, where I have the most fun having opinions.
I'll bring out mine. Don't worry. You guys will be guests.
That's fine.
We'll talk about it. I ain't busy. I'll jump on.
I like draft time.
Yep.
All right,
just not in season. I ain't doing in season shit.
That's Ryan, why I'm gonna send it.
If this were a debate, Dan and I would be killing you in talk time. So why don't you go ahead and start?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you guys would be killing me in talk time because you know what would be good is just an episode of you two talk and I just sit here and eat and do absolutely nothing. Don't even say one word.
The fans have 3 years of that. Just us fucking talking. Like, my fans and me, my listeners.
Yeah, and like, who the hell is this guy just eating back there?
Yeah,
and
the same 129 people to watch me live stream for 7 days. Don't know what the average watch time on that was. I'm betting somebody just found out. Holy shit, this guy's just live streaming and
hopefully
sat there
live
and spied on me. Yeah,
Ryan, what are you drinking?
So I am drinking tonight. I'm drinking Belgian Blue Moon Belgian White.
Boom.
You say boo?
Yeah. I hate Blue Moon.
That's fine.
Sorry, go ahead. That was rude.
It was in my fridge too, so someone left it, so I thought I'd just drink
you're
it.
You're all yes.
If Dan, I knew my power wasn't gonna go out, I would have had something different and I would have stopped at the store on the way home.
Dan, I know what you got.
Yeah, I talked about it. So my only real issue with Blue Moon is that so many people think it's craft beer.
It doesn't actually.
It makes way too much per gallon to ever be considered craft beer anymore.
Well, isn't it owned by Miller or Budweiser?
Yeah. Yeah. They're not part of the household.
Yeah.
It's part of their portfolio. I don't know if it's, but anyways.
I think it's brewed there.
Oh, is it brewed? Okay. That I stopped caring about Blue Moon so long ago.
And actually I think it's Miller. It's Miller, of course, because Budweiser is shocked up.
Yes. I know it's not Budweiser. Right, I am drinking Mill Ponds.
Yeah, boy.
Is that fit here?
Yeah, I got a story behind that beer, actually.
F-E-I-E-R. Fahir.
Fahir or Fier? It looks like Fier.
F-E-I-E-R.
I have no idea how to say it. It's their Oktoberfest, right?
Yeah, it's their Oktoberfest. Yep, that's what I thought. All right, so this is their Oktoberfest. Mill Ponds out of Millstadt, Illinois. To Hopper and myself was actually, I cover a part of their city. It's part of my route. So every time I'm down there, I typically pick up Mill Pond. I'm a huge fan of their stuff. More of the classical style brewery. They do dabble in the hazies and stuff, but they do a lot of really good traditional as well. And I'm drinking their Oktoberfest because it's that time of year.
So on that later. Story about that recipe. I'm assuming I can share this. So Brian didn't actually have an Oktoberfest recipe, but my other buddy Dan and Josh, another friend of mine, are real close to him. And Dan has actually been trying to perfect. He's the guys in the homebrew club with me has been trying to perfect his Oktoberfest recipe for like 3-4 years. He'll just he'll run out and he'll just brew another one to try to dial it in. So he lent that to Brian for that beer, and to help dial it in and everything. So,
I will say it is a very well done Oktoberfest.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's been like, that's been his like one quest with homebrewing for like the last 2 years is to dial in like a perfect Oktoberfest recipe for him. So that's what that is. So that's really cool. That's the one that you have, because that one's for like Saturday. That is the guy whose adoption party I'm going to on Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
They
right on.
Went the recipe for that beer. So
cool. Cool. Very cool.
Actually at Mill Pond. So cool. All right. I am drinking. It's also starting tomorrow. It's craft beer month. Just another fun fact. I'm drinking bourbon again because I'm trying to only drink beer twice a week and alcohol four times a week. And I drank beer on Sunday and I got to drink beer again on Saturday. So we're doing bourbon again. So this is a fresh crack of Old Dominic's Healing Station. So this is from master distiller Alex Castle. They do a lot of work with like women and whiskey. And this is an 8-year, 114 proof. Straight bourbon whiskey. So it's at Cast Strength. It's an A1 store pick out of Effingham, Illinois. So yeah, mash bill is actually on the back of this. It is 52% corn, 44% rye. So that's higher than MGP's high rye. That's pretty good high rye. 4% malted barley, a straight bourbon whiskey, hand selected by master distiller Alex Castle, bottled at Cast Strength. So there you go. Bottled by Old Dominic. Distilled in Indiana, so contract distilled by MGP. This one is
love
so
it.
Not sourced from MGP, contract distilled. All right, because that is not one of MGP's normal mash bills. Let's go ahead and get into the news. Yeah, fuck it, we'll hit the drop. Actually, didn't I have? We'll do that in a minute. We'll do news first.
Did you wear out the drop?
No.
News.
I have something specifically for Black Monday, which was really Black Tuesday, but that's a different thing. So. All right. Let's go ahead and jump into it. We'll start with the big news. Colts Jonathan Taylor failed to find a trade partner. Jonathan Taylor failed to find a trade partner who the Colts deemed would be giving them an acceptable value. Jonathan Taylor is going to start the year on the PUP list after complaining of pain at his ankle again to Chris Ballard. So he was healthy enough to trade, but not healthy enough to trade. Apparently the Dolphins and the Packers are both involved in this. Dan's been on this the whole time. From what I've heard, the asking prices were absolutely absurd.
It was comically bad.
Comically bad, like Waddle for
Waddle plus.
Waddle plus. For Jonathan
Taylor.
It was a fantasy trade.
That one person
in your dynasty league, and you know that person because it exists in every dynasty league. That is that offer. That's that bad.
Ours is named Sean.
It's Sean. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Sean. Yeah. It's Sean.
There's some others that could probably fit. There's one more specifically, especially of recent, that could fit that mold. But almost every league has one of those. It's pretty, it's funny because, as you said, like they value him enough to ask for an absurd offers, which means they probably never took it that seriously. But they don't value him at all to actually pay him a worthwhile running back contract. Jim Irsay is just going down the alley of the most hated owner.
I was just surprised to see the Green Bay Packers were one of the teams interested in him.
I was too.
Honestly,
Jones, you know,
I'm not. I should be shocked, but just given the recent moves the past, you know, 4 or 5 years and draft classes,
is a moron.
It's just bad. Like,
because
resigning Aaron Jones when you drafted Aaron, you know, when you drafted AJ Dillon in the second round, that, you know, yeah, them involved in trade rumors, never providing Rodgers any legitimate weapons to build with or around during his twilight years. It's just,
yep,
caught off. If they got the 101, they would, like, they're the team that they somehow got the first pick next year, they would trade it away.
Even we don't need it. We got Jordan Love.
We got Jordan Love, who led us to the first overall pick.
Or they would keep it and not take Williams or Williams.
Not take Caleb or even May. Or May.
There it is.
We're gonna take Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
So we're gonna finally give
101. We're finally gonna draft a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Now, this was never in good faith. It was never going to be in good faith. No. Chris Ballard, when asked about it, said, look, we won 4 games last year, and I get it, right? He's swinging for the fences, and if not, then we're going to have a good running attack for our offense to try to even come close to competing, so that's how we're going to do it, and I'm not giving it up unless you blow me away, and he's stuck to that. This is never in good faith for the player. It was never going to be. The Colts would have had to made out like a bandit on this for a trade to go through here, and they weren't going to. They'd rather let him walk for nothing.
Well, in the other words, kickers are more important than Jonathan Taylor, so.
And tight ends.
And we're going to get there. All right. Anything else on Taylor? I mean, he's going to start on the pup. Where are you taking him at now in redraft with him on the pup? I don't want to touch it.
He's in the 7th round right now.
He went in the 8th round, mid-8th round of a super flex tight end premium league. People, and I'm with you guys. I'm afraid, like, as I told Hopper off air, there's a legitimate chance he doesn't
actually snap this year. Was like the on air for the episode.
Oh, was it on
air? 7 hours.
They're in the end of our 176 hour live stream.
Right.
Jonathan Taylor. Yeah. I'm right there with you guys. Like, there's a legit shot he may not even play this year. Like,
I don't even want him. He's actually on my, like, you know, we don't hate players. We don't, you know, we hate ADP. Mm-hmm. No matter what his ADP is,
I love John. I feel terrible for him. Like, he's stuck in such, like, are the Colts becoming the new Houstons? Like, outside of, like, the racist allegations, are the Colts becoming the new Houston Texans? Because their top players just seem to now hate him. Or at least will be, starting with Taylor. I'm sure we'll hear some shit else.
Or the Cardinals.
Bad. Yeah,
they're bottom three franchise right now.
At least the Cardinals are actively tanking the right way by
trading everyone away.
Trading everybody away.
Get rid of them all.
I mean, that's the advice we give dynasty people. If you don't want to compete, trade your players away for draft picks or younger players.
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to do. But yeah,
what they're doing.
Yep. So, all right. Anything else there?
No.
Right. Jeff Wilson going to open the season on IR after. Oh, wait. I asked about redraft on Taylor. For me, if I had a guarantee he'd come back in week 5 and be healthy and be the JT of old, I'm still not ahead of the 5th round and you don't, or the 4-5 turn, and you don't have that guarantee. So, yeah, I'm with you. You're drafting him in the dead zone and hoping for the best. Jeff Wilson could open the season on IR with rib and finger injuries. That would leave this backfield strictly to Raheem Mostert. Unless A-Chain can play, he's going to practice for week 1. He'll have an opening as well.
Or they bring in a veteran,
Leonard Fournette, Kareem Hunt
at the witching hour.
Yeah.
Maybe you try to bring somebody in.
One of those two. Those are the two left.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it would matter. It's still going to be Mostert starting week 1 regardless, but I think it'd probably be smart of them to bring someone, a veteran, in, because this is supposed to be a playoff bound team, and Raheem Mostert is not a true pitcher of model health. So who's also missed significant time in multiple seasons and just doesn't have probably the body anymore to hold up to, you know, to a heavy workload, even for 4 weeks.
So who would you bring in? Would it be Kareem Hunt or Leonard Fournette?
I'd bring in Fournette if you're looking to just ride somebody in, but I think Kareem Hunt probably fits what they want more because he's more of a dynamic pass catcher. But
I think Kareem Hunt fits what they want more, but if you're looking to complement the backs that you have there, it's Fournette.
Yeah. Or you just don't run the ball at all.
But Fournette,
you just throw it.
But it's been smart for them to bring somebody in literally all of offseason, literally all of training camp. Those guys have been sitting out there, and they haven't done it.
It's the same thing with the Vikings, too. It's like there's just some teams that are comfortable and are not adding any real veteran depth because you're wasting, not wasting, but you're also putting legit money into that position, and maybe they don't want to give up that type of leeway they have.
Well, that could be, and I mean, I guess
I'm just trying to
boatload of people cut, but you know, there's not a lot of them re-sign that had any name cachet or experience at all. So the practice squads or whatever. So I guess they could go pluck somebody like Melvin Gordon off of Baltimore's practice squad, I guess, if they really wanted to on the cheap, but not much gas left in that tank.
Nope.
Be interesting to see, because I don't think going with just Raheem Mostert and A-Chain's a sustainable model here.
No, that feels like they both get hurt, and then all of a sudden you got to...
You got three of us getting ready to go in for running back for him.
All right, Hopper. Hopper's getting a phone call right now. It's Miami Dolphins.
You saw my athletic display last weekend. I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Jesus Christ. That was fun.
Be great at fumble drills. A-Chain is already dealing with soft tissue issues too. So Joe Burrow trending toward being ready to play week one. I think we all anticipated that. Flip side, Cooper Kupp, day-to-day after re-aggravating a hamstring strain. This is bad.
This gives me Dalvin Cook 2018 vibes. Just not going to let him rest enough until the season's pretty much feels like a waste.
Get Ben Skoranek on waivers.
Was it Puka Nuka? It's a name I'm seeing.
Puka Nakua.
Yeah, Puka Nakua. And he's like 5'7".
I'm just, they got shit there to throw to. It's going to be
Tyler Higbee show.
Tyler Higbee, is Van Jefferson still there?
I don't know. It's going to be Kyren Williams, man.
Kyren Williams will be lining up in the slot because he's also...
Yes, Van Jefferson's still there.
5'7". He'll be a thing that disappoints, though, because he never actually shows up. It's going to be Cam Akers and Kyren Williams.
Good God. Is Ben Skoranek the tallest receiver there?
Oh, boy, that's rough.
I think so.
Well, he's like 6'2", isn't he?
Van Jefferson shorter than him?
Ben Skoranek
is like 6'1".
Skoranek's 6'3". Van is 6'1". Cup, I think, is 5'11". No,
Cup's 6 foot. He's 6'6".
6'1".
Yeah.
But look at the other areas. Yeah, Puka Nakua is actually 6'2". I was way wrong about that. 6'2", 205.
Wow.
You were thinking, who were you thinking of then?
I don't know. I just never paid any attention to Puka Nakua. DeMarcus Robinson is... there's no way DeMarcus Robinson is 6'1".
He's more scrawny than... Yeah, I mean... He's probably 6'1" on Tinder, but he's 5'10".
Oh, yeah, 2'2" Atwell listed at 5'9".
That's probably... There's no fucking way he's 5'9".
They got bottle caps in his shoes.
There's no way.
No way. No way.
I don't trust that.
I think my son's taller than him. I think my son's only 5'4".
And 2'2"? I think so, too. There's no way TT's 5'9". He's 5'9". Huh. Never
put
mind.
Put him next to Kyler.
Never mind. Sorry, Rams.
Next to Kyler.
Oh, well. Still Skoranek. Thing with Kupp is that this is something that's nagging him all offseason at the ankle injury at the end of last year. You know, if he doesn't get right, then you're looking at a Keenan Allen type season. So, fade him. I don't want him before the end of before the early second right now.
There's a lot of risks. There's a lot of risks to him because we know, this is the same injury. Like, he's recovering from the injury that took him out last year. It was a hamstring injury, lots 8 weeks on. And it just doesn't feel right. This could be...
Was it a hamstring or an ankle? I thought
it was a hamstring. It may have been an ankle too. I saw a note that it was a hamstring though.
I thought it was the ankle on the high throwing garbage time that took him out. Or was that at the end of the season? No. It was a right
ankle sprain that he missed four games on at the end of last year. It took him out week 10.
Okay.
He missed four games because it was a high throw from in garbage time.
Oh, that's when right. He hurt Yeah.
He's had, that's the only injury that's caused him to miss time other than the torn ACL was the ankle sprain. This is the same one, obviously, that you heard earlier in the preseason, but yeah, it was not a hamstring that took him
okay.
out last
okay.
year.
Yeah, this is right high ankles. Yeah, yep. Yeah, this just feels like
long lasting,
lingering. I think Alshon Jeffrey. I think
Alshon.
One of his final years with Chicago, I think, was the same way. He was always questionable, and then he was ruled out. Or then when he played a handful of plays and then re-aggravated, and that's sad. It's just, we'll see if the Rams are smart enough to actually sit him for multiple weeks, or we're going to be trying to, play the Cooper Kupp as healthy, 100% game. And that's not first round for me anymore. So I don't know if I, spend a second on him. He might be off my board completely. Not because I don't want him, but because his cost is always going to be too high for what I probably feel comfortable taking him.
Yeah, I'm there too.
Which sucks because
I love Cooper Kupp, but
yeah.
I don't, for high end wide receivers, when I'm passing up volume running backs, I can't have injury risk.
And just the depth of high end receiver, and just other high end receivers you could take in
the
that
depth
range.
Of receiver. Yep.
Yeah.
Kendra Miller is dealing with another soft tissue issue. It's his hamstring this time. Look, Jamal Williams. Ryan's been saying it all offseason. We like Miller. A lot of people like Miller, but with Kamara suspended and Miller dealing with soft tissue issues, grab Jamal Williams. He's cheap to undrafted. If he's out there, get him.
Yep, 100%.
Tyreek Hill will not be suspended for his assault issues over the summer, so him and the victim apparently settled their differences outside of court and meeting he got paid and charges were dropped. So the NFL's not doing anything with it. Fullbacks are getting paid. Alec Ingold has been signed to a 3-year deal worth $17.2 million by the Dolphins.
There's your running back.
Good for him. Yep.
Alec Ingold,
he's the Kyle Juszczyk of that offense.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
East Coast Kyle Juszczyk.
Yep. Damn, where did I lose that at? There we go. TJ Hawkinson, 4-year deal, $68.4 million running through 2027. Dan?
He's officially the highest paid tight end per year.
By 100K?
Just edges out Darren White. Hey, it don't matter to them.
Yep.
With an aging Kelsey and other tight ends out there, he might be the highest paid here for a little bit. Maybe Kelsey gets his resign, but he's 25 years old.
Yeah.
24. Hawk is, should be.
So isn't even going to be his last contract.
No, he'll be a true focal point of what should be one of the highest passing volume offenses in football. Great for fantasy, great for redraft, great for dynasty. Great for him for getting paid. Hopefully he could continue to live up to the hype that he was able to build on from last year. Yeah. I know it didn't work out as well for when he was in Detroit, but
it was incredible after that trade.
Yeah, this is exactly what Minnesota needs. To pair alongside Jefferson and their newly drafted wide receiver in Jordan Addison. So
and Kirk Cousins for the next however many years,
and hopefully Cousins just this year. But I love Cousins. It hurts, man. Watch a quarterback if you haven't watched it yet.
The problem is you guys are too good elsewhere to really end up in a position.
Our defense is god awful, but we have the right aggressive coordinator to still.
Yeah,
probably win enough games to be a wild card, especially with a weak NFC.
You're gonna have to sign a quarterback, Brett or Aaron Rodgers.
I may quit. I may not watch him that year. I'd say that, and I probably will. But please no.
All right,
please no.
Starting on kicker stuff, Jake Moody is dealing with a quad issue. 49ers assigned Matthew Wright as insurance. 49ers is gonna be a popular kicker team this year with an offense that can move footballs.
And people love rookie kickers.
Yeah, well,
I love rookie kickers.
If I'm overexposed to anybody, it's Jake Moody. So,
I mean, I'll always be overexposed to Justin Tucker if there's a kicker involved. I'll even trade draft picks for
I might have
a kicker in a rookie league.
Some waiver wire stuff to do with kickers. Vikings plays Kene Iwuanwu on IR to start the season. They've played Miles Gaskin off of waivers from Miami. Ty Chandler.
McBride. I wonder if I saw McBride
got cut and re-signed to the practice squad.
Practice squad. Okay. I don't remember if I saw that or not. Gaskin won't actually fill in the Iwuanwu role. He was more of a special teams guy, but he'll be provided depth in the running back position that the team didn't want to, pay up to get.
And receiving ability outside. And I think Gaskin has returned punts before.
I probably should vet that more, but I don't think that would be. I mean,
I don't even know where to look up punt returns, but I'm pretty sure that he has.
I mean, you know, Pro Football Focus will have it or reference.
Chiefs GM Brett Veach has stated Rashee Rice and Justin Ross will start the season as package players. So this means that Kadarius Toney, MVS, and Sky Moore are starting three in Kansas City.
Gaskin has returned two punts or two kickoffs.
See?
His entire career.
See?
He's done not punts. He's twice. And he's got 29 yards total. That's not very good.
See?
No.
That's fine.
No, that's pretty bad. He's fine. It's fine. He's
fine. Fine.
It's fine. It's fine. Go ahead.
This is fine.
Other notes. It's fine.
Yeah, Chiefs. Justin Ross, that's right. Rashee Rice starting as package players. It'll be Kadarius Toney, MVS, and Sky Moore. Here's my prediction. Kadarius Toney's hurt by week two. MVS is ineffective and gets surpassed by one of these guys.
By Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Rashee and Sky have to figure out who's going to play the slot.
Toney's hurt by halftime in week one Thursday night.
Yeah. I do like Kadarius Toney out of that lineup, though, because if he's healthy. I don't believe Marquez Valdes-Scantling is or will be shit. So
no, if you're banking on receiver, I think in Kansas City, especially at costs, Sky Moore to start with, and maybe try to if you got the depth, the bench space,
get him
Ross or Rice. Like it's kind of like the Vikings. You want to try to have a piece here. One of these guys is going to have to figure their shit out to have production or fill in some sort of juju role. Yeah, multiple. And they need somebody there that's outside of a 35-year-old Travis Kelce.
Yep, somebody's got to step up. Of course, we say that every year. It'll be a different guy every week, probably. That'll be frustrating.
The worst.
No.
The backup tight end.
Colts plays Jelani Woods on IR. I didn't even look up who's going to be starting there. Allie Cox, maybe? I don't know, because I don't care.
The last tight end, I remember there was Eric Ebron.
We had Brick Hands and then they traded him.
The Jack Doyle disrespect.
Well, that was after Jack Doyle. So Ebron would be the most recent between those two.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that is. That's where that's
called. Allie Cox disrespect.
Yeah.
Jelani Woods had some flashes last year. That's why that's in there.
I think he scored some points with Matt Ryan.
End of the season, he did, I think. He was kind of touchdown dependent.
He was a thing.
What? Tight end isn't touched end of into this. Speaking of tight end, Zach Ertz, uncertain if he's going to play week one. He isn't starting the season on IR with the pup, but may not quite be ready yet. So just an FYI there. Logan Thomas, Washington, fully cleared to return to action. Nobody really jumped into the tight end role with Logan Thomas out, but he's multiple years now removed from being a tight end one. So just it's an interesting thing to watch. Would be good if he can return to form, but don't hold your breath.
Yep.
Those cool turnovers actually like bouncing out, like looking good.
All right, Brett Maher will kick to start the season for Denver. as Will Lutz, whom they traded for, will not be ready week one. I didn't really get this note because I saw that Denver signed Maher, right? Or re-signed him to the practice squad. They traded for Will Lutz. I wasn't aware that Will Lutz was hurt because he just lost a kicking battle. So I was real confused by the note that Maher will be in line to kick in week one for them. So, I don't know. We'll figure it out. Some point. Because Will Lutz was traded and will be the kicker for Denver. By the way, good place for Will Lutz to land. Denver kicker awesome. Good place for
him. It's a thinner air.
Yep. Blake Groupe, or Groupie, won the Saints kicking job over Will Lutz, rookie kicker. Saints are one of those offenses that, well, they got a soft schedule. They should be able to move the football but not find the end zone. That's also a good recipe for kickers. Look at Young Wei Koo the last several years.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
just that's kind of sneaky. The end of your draft if you're looking for an edge. Robert Saleh is committed to easing Breece Hall back into action. So I think we all anticipated this, especially after the Dalvin Cook signing, but he will not be a full workload from the word go. That should have been expected.
I mean, yes.
Jerry Jeudy is going to avoid short-term IR to start the season, but we don't expect him week one. Damar Hamlin has made the Bills 53-man roster, so good for him.
Yay.
Patriots traded Nick Folk to Tennessee for a 2025 seventh-round pick. That means Chad Ryland will be the Patriots kicker. Don't really care about either of these offenses. Honestly, they're not solid spots. Maybe Ryland, just with the new OC in New England, and you hope that they can, they got a solid running back tandem, so maybe they can be in a situation where they can move the ball but not score. But Tennessee, I'm not super in love with.
I agree.
Yep.
Browns release kicker Cade York. Dustin Hopkins will be their kicker after being traded to the Browns for a seventh rounder. And Dicker the kicker is going to be the guy in LA.
Yeah.
Dicker the kicker.
So Dicker was really good last year for the Chargers. He should be considered a top eight kicker for sure. Dustin Hopkins landed with the Browns. Will really depend on Watson. I don't consider him super premium.
All these kicker trades. Weren't the Browns the one that drafted this kicker in the fourth round?
They drafted him in the fourth round, and then he kicked the game winner, and they said, that's why you draft a kicker, and a year later, he's gone.
Jeez. Perfect allocation of your draft picks.
Yep. You're going to draft a kicker early? You probably better not miss.
Arby scrutinized like Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. At least the Raiders actually almost made it to a Super Bowl with Sebastian Janikowski.
Yeah.
They're set. Yeah.
One other note, Brandon Aubrey won the Dallas kicker job too. So good for him. There's also a rookie in Green Bay too, isn't there?
Probably not a good kicker to have. Not gonna score a lot of points out there. Just saying, Bay.
there's a rookie there. There's a lot
we
of
do like kickers. That's true. That's fair.
And actually, because I named this kickers matter, I'm going to go look at that real quick. So you're going to have a rookie in New England. You're going to have the Jets have great legs still. You're going to have a rookie in Hopkins went to Cleveland. Pittsburgh kept what's his nuts? Boswell? Yeah.
Boswell's been there forever.
He has been.
I think it was there when I was in high school.
So really, who do the Colts have? Nope, they got Matt Gay. Didn't know that.
Yeah, they got Gay. That's
that one. Yeah, I remember.
Blankenship went down to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, McManus is in Jacksonville. New faces, new places on kickers too. As we go here, we just talked about Folk. Broncos traded for Lutz. Carlson's still in Vegas. Dicker's not a rookie. Still Myers in Seattle. Yes. Dan's loving this. So you'll have two with the 49ers having a rookie kicker. The Rams don't have a kicker on their roster right now.
Well, because they don't ever expect to kick field goals. Look at that. Look at that. Big brain in right there. We don't ever expect to kick extra points or field goals. All we're going to do is score touchdowns.
Or kickoffs.
Or just not do anything, actually.
We're just not kicking the football.
We're just going to spot you the ball at some point in some place.
Because
to figure it out. Good luck. Squib kicks every kick.
Okay. Well, it looks like Brett Maher is the one to open up as the kicker for the Rams, even though they sent him to the practice squad.
Oh, did I have the team wrong where he ended up? That's right. He was cut by Denver. Okay. So the note was wrong. Maher
was cut, but he was put on the Rams practice squad, but he'll more likely be their week one kicker.
He'll be their week one.
There he is. Yeah. He'll kick for them week one. Okay. Mystery solved. Tampa Bay is Chase McLaughlin. The Saints have a rookie kicker. Carolina is rolling with. They cut a bunch of people too.
Matt Corral.
Yeah, Eddie Pinheiro.
Eddie.
Are the Vikings still rolling with? No, rather Greg Joseph.
Yep.
Still.
Yep.
Okay. You guys had Podlesny there for a bit.
I'll take your word for it.
He got cut. Anders Carlson's the guy in Green Bay.
Okay.
That's your fourth rookie kicker.
That's a rookie, right?
Yeah, he's a rookie. And then Riley Patterson from Jacksonville to Detroit. Santos still. Washington's got former Carolina kicker Joey Sly. I can't keep up with this. Okay.
A lot of kicker news. It's more kicker news than running back news.
And Brandon Aubrey, five rookies in the NFL. That's what that whole exercise was for. There's five rookie kickers in the NFL this year.
Nice.
It's pretty good.
Rookie kicker really good. Renaissance.
And there's been a whole fucking kicker carousel, too.
Jake Moody kicker Renaissance.
Yeah, because there's like about half the league moved around or is a rookie. So
damn, that's crazy.
It is crazy. It's a lot of turnover.
That's a lot of kicker news.
Yeah, Bills, Dolphins, Jets, Ravens, Bengals, Steelers.
I think we have one listener now. They all left.
That's me.
Ryan's the only person watching the show.
I'm watching myself.
He's actually watching himself in delay.
Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, if you count Dicker, who was a fill-in. Seahawks, Cardinals. That's damn near it. Falcons, Vikings, Bears, because Lions switched up kickers too, right?
Oh, my.
Yeah, Lions was a hard one to try to figure out because even people ask me, like, who's the Lions kicker? I'm like, fuck if I know.
Riley Patterson, former Jacksonville kicker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that was Bagley for the longest time. 17 team. The Patterson trade.
So it's right about half. 17 NFL teams retain their kicker. Everybody else is a new kicker. That's crazy.
Teams are more worried about their kickers than they are the running backs.
So many games get lost because of kickers.
Right.
You got to find one you fucking trust.
Kickers are the number one point scorer. You have to find someone you trust.
Plus the double doinks, you know? You got to love those.
Oh, my God. I double doinked an elevated basket from 60 feet, and I was so upset.
Oh! That's rough.
I literally double jointed it. I went off the upper band and hit the lower basket.
The last time I was out, I had two putts, probably about 15 and 20 feet in, both landed on top of the basket.
Oh,
I feel like that's more impressive than making. I'm like, because I've been putting, I've been trying to put a little higher recently because I typically miss low. So I've been trying to elevate my release and my putts, high putt. Mm. Yeah, a lot of groin pains on top of the fact that I can't settle on a form I want to use.
You're in year three of that. I settled on a form I want to use finally. The only thing that this is putting these are back to disc golf. The only thing that
we're all over the place, Ryan.
Kind of back and forth
place.
Between is
we my are all over the place.
Is I do switch depending on my distance from a spin putt to a push putt.
I mean, that's typically normal. So, especially for newer players, that
my form is the same regardless. New amateur. I just need to get more consistent and, you know, beyond 25 feet.
I'm far more comfortable from like 20 feet out than I am from, I think, 20 feet in.
All right. Jalen, we're in the rumor section now, by the way. Jalen Warren could be the lead back by the end of the season for the Steelers, buying or selling that.
Selling, dude. I'm getting so tired of hearing Jalen Warren right now.
I don't care. I'm sorry. I just I should, but I don't. I don't.
Tomlin likes running one running back. Matt Canada likes running one running back. It's Najee Harris's backfield.
Until he gets hurt. Maybe that's why. Maybe they bait that because they just expect Najee to get hurt. I don't know. I don't care, though.
Yeah.
Trade just went down.
Where?
Finkel's.
Was it me? It was probably my trade.
Was that your trade?
I've been fucking getting harassed by Jason.
That is your trade.
He did my one Cardinals. He did one of my more recent pet peeves.
What?
And that is asking somebody if a player is made available for trade and then just never offering a trade.
Nice.
I've reached a point where it's like, I don't need you to ask me if a player, just make a fucking trade. And this isn't on him.
It's a decent trade though.
I went for upside.
You did with Ross over Moore and Akers over Mostert. You did.
Yeah. I mean, it's mainly just trying to get it. If Akers is going to hit, it's going to have to be this year.
It will be this year.
He gave me one. Yeah.
And Mostert's at most, he's a rental piece.
He sent me one earlier that I declined that I thought was pretty fair. I just didn't want to deal with him this early.
I'll be honest. He's made some, like, his trade offers aren't bad.
No, they're not. And that's what I
just don't like being asked in text form. Like, just send me a fucking trade offer. If I like it, I'll accept it. If I don't like it, I'll maybe Connor. If not, then that's
he's just figuring you out. He did that with me for a while too. And then once he figured out that you just offer it, then we'll talk about it later.
I mean, we made
it
the same trade this weekend, so it's not like it's not like we haven't become best friends for trades. So
you did. He sent me one earlier. We usually will make something happen midseason. He sent me earlier. It was Quentin Johnston and Elijah Mitchell for Brandon Cooks.
He sent me one involving Quentin Johnston too.
I turned it down. And he texted me and was like, I thought that was a good. He's like, damn, I thought that was a good deal. I'm like, no, I don't have a problem with the value. I where my wide receiver depth is, I would rather have the floor of Cooks than the upside of Johnston. And I don't trust Elijah Mitchell. Like, value wise, you're fine on that. I thought
Elijah Mitchell has nothing to do with that trade. It should be pretty much just Quentin Johnston and Cooks.
It's basically, are you going for second half of the season upside, or are you going for the floor that you expect to have in Cooks? I want the floor more than I want the upside, given my wide receiver. I also said that I wasn't really in the mood, given how stacked this team is, thanks to you, to send him surefire wide receiver depth versus upside lottery tickets.
I mean, I it's fun. He's super top heavy. He's very, very top. So Ryan, we'll break this down in contest. You know where we're at. So Jason's every. So this is a
how much we care about Jalen Warren. By the way, we're just going to talk about our own fantasy leagues because we don't.
This is a one keeper league, and the keeper is kept the round they were drafted in, and it goes up a round for every year after. So he drafted Justin Jefferson.
Goes up two rounds every year after.
Yep. So he drafted Justin Jefferson in like the back of the round. So he's had him for double digit round keeper for the whole time that he's had him.
It's an 18 round draft. He's got him in round 13 right now.
And
Jesus,
I joined the league and I'm like, secretly, like, I was like, that's such like that value is almost untradeable because you get to keep the league's best receiver, a top three receiver, double digit round. You are stacking yourself in such a positive way every year moving forward.
Hey, you're just sitting there all year long.
So I traded for him. I got like the kid, this what, guy. Yeah,
tell him what you sent away.
So I sent away. I said, this is so bad. I sent away. So the trade was, I sent away Barkley, Nick Chubb, and Keenan Allen for Justin Jefferson, Ramondre Stevenson, and I wanted to say Mostert too. Yeah, it was Mostert was involved in that deal. Was actually more than I expected to get in return.
You just sent him back.
And I just sent them back.
So it's really Cam Akers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I obviously gave up any sort of chance of competing this year, but my team still looks competitive. But yeah, I got Justin Jefferson as a 13-round keeper.
Jesus. Yeah, that's solid. Some.
I'm sorry. I know it looks terrible because he just won it last year and he wants to win it this year. So it looks really bad.
Desperately wants to go back to back.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, that's fine. You're not guaranteed to win it this year, but I'm guaranteed to have a extremely good keeper for the next 5, 6, 7 years, as long as he stays healthy, doesn't retire. So it was the splash I wanted to make in a room full of people that I didn't know besides Hopper.
It was pretty good. Indian. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and you were in leagues with some of them before.
I was with him, like probably half the league I was in a dynasty with. I just never met him before, but yeah. I made some rumbles.
Nice. All right. Christian, per ESPN, CMC will be off the field more. This is speculation, by the way. Will be off the field more with the 49ers than he was with the Panthers. And then I guess there was a statement that came out that, yeah, well, we know his injury history and we want him fresh. So Elijah Mitchell should get change of pace work. And that, I mean, look, you can take McCaffrey off the field more than he was the Panthers and still have him be incredible. So
I think someone posted the splits.
With
Elijah Mitchell out and in. And I think with Mitchell playing, it was McCaffrey averaged like 16.3 points per game, something like that. But with him out, he averaged over 20. It was like 23 something.
Huh.
So pretty big difference in terms of, I mean, obviously with those, you got to take those within context is how many games did they actually play together. But for a team that should be as competitive as the Niners are, trying to keep McCaffrey relatively fresh,
That'll last
maybe a couple weeks, and then you're going to lean on your best players, especially if Brock Purdy struggles. Like, you'll lean on your best players. Right? I'm not – like, this will probably last for 1 or 2 weeks, and then that's it. Yeah.
All right. We'll end the news with this.
Black Monday.
All right, cut downs were Tuesday. It wasn't really Monday, but it used to always be a Monday. So that's where the drop is for Monday. So notable guys that were cut, we'll run through them. If there's something to talk about, we will. There probably won't be a lot. Colt McCoy, cut from the Arizona Cardinals. This opens it up for Joshua Dobbs or Clayton Toon. Dobbs new in there. I'd expect Clayton Toon to start pretty immediately.
Perfect tank move.
Yeah. Yep. Great tank move, but also good to see what you have in one of my two favorite late round quarterbacks this year. And we'll talk about the other guy here in a minute. But Clayton Toon's mobile with good accuracy, good arm, right? See what you got in the middle round guy.
He should absolutely start week one. Absolutely. He should.
We'll just see what you have. I agree with that. And so, Clayton Toon, if you're in 2QB, stash him. The dude has rushing floor.
Yep.
Like, don't be surprised when he's putting up points at the legs. Tyson Williams and Corey Clement are gone in Arizona. That means Keontae Ingram is locked in as the backup here because the third guy I've never freaking heard of. And he's like an undrafted rookie. So Keontae Ingram is the backup behind James Conner, who they're still allegedly trying to trade to. So Keontae Ingram should probably be rostered given this.
Yep.
JJ Arcega-Whiteside gone from Atlanta. Rest in peace. You can cut him in Dynasty. Melvin Gordon gone from Baltimore. Solid career. See ya. He's on the practice squad now, by the way, so he might win another ring, but you know. Andy Isabella from Buffalo was cut, then re-added to the practice squad. Former middle round draft pick and fantasy darling. Speaking of former fantasy darlings, Jay Sternberger. Was cut from Buffalo. Never really has taken off anywhere. If you're still holding on to him, he can safely be cut. I know tight ends, we kind of preach holding on too longer, but he's now going to be on his third team without catching on. So
he should have been gone.
He should have been gone
last year.
Ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
PJ Walker and Nathan Peterman were both cut from the Bears. Peterman, I believe, was re-signed to the practice squad, but I mean, Tyson Badgett has, even though Eberflus wouldn't commit to this, that means Badgett has most likely won the backup job to Justin Fields. This is the other guy that I liked as a later on pick in this draft, given his college productivity. Small school guy, tore up the preseason, played himself into a role. The way Fields plays, there's always a chance that he misses time. So that's a be aware of that type thing. Bajant, another one who can do it with the legs and the arm. Darius Fountain, former sleeper pick, is gone from the Bears. Nathan Peterman, we just talked about. Trevor Siemian is gone from Cincinnati. That means Jake Browning is going to be their backup after being on the practice squad for a while. Stanley Morgan, long-term depth receiver there to the practice squad, favorite of mine. That's why he's here. Trent Taylor was cut from Cincinnati and signed with Chicago to be their kick returner. So if you get return yards in a really deep best ball league or something. Kellen Mond, cut from Cleveland. John Kelly, Anthony Schwartz, also cut from Cleveland. Just some names that have come up in the past. Will Greer, cut from the Cowboys. He was been signed to the Bengals practice squad. Malik Davis has gone in Dallas, which he was re-signed to their practice squad. That clears the room for Deuce Vaughn to take over the running back two role, which we were all expecting.
Yep.
There's some rumors early in camp that it might go to Davis first. Albert O, gone from Denver. Denzel Mims, gone from Detroit after they traded for him. Never really caught on. He could tell from comments a week or two ago that, not.
He didn't have the right NFL mindset.
Dan Campbell, not really enthused. Special Agent Tom Kennedy, gone from Detroit.
Aw.
Trey Quinn, gone from Detroit. Still in the league.
Bet you didn't know that. He was what?
Yeah.
Trey Quinn.
Yep.
Could have been.
Nick Vinette still in the league. Got from Houston. Signed to the Rams practice squad. This is why these are fun.
Names that we used to like it out at some point in time in history.
Yeah. Garrett Dokes, who some people fucking liked after his career at Cincinnati, is in, cut from Houston. Kenyon Drake, cut from the Colts. Rashad Perriman, cut from the Colts. James Washington, cut from the Colts. Snoop Connor and Quadri Olison, cut from Jacksonville. That means that Tank Bigsby has solidified the backup job there. Snoop Connor re-signed to the practice squad. Doug Peterson cut his own son, Josh Peterson. He's signed to the practice squad now.
Fucking love that. What a G move. I'll see you at Christmas. I'll see you at Thanksgiving, bud, but you're on the
right
fucking team.
Yeah, he's on practice squad now. I'll see you at practice.
I'll see you at practice.
Darwin Thompson, remember when he was supposed to be a thing? He just got cut from the Raiders. Philip Dorsett, cut from the Raiders. Brett Rippon, cut from the Rams. Stetson Bennett is the backup there now. Rippon signed to the practice squad. Royce Freeman, cut from the Rams. He's been signed to the practice squad. Robbie Chosen is gone in Miami. He of many names. He's probably cooked. He wasn't chosen for the team, I guess.
Ooh.
Kiki Kuti, cut from Miami. He's actually been cut twice this offseason because he was cut from the Saints, too. never caught on. Never Dwayne McBride, cut from Minnesota, then signed back to the practice squad. New England at one point cut both of their quarterbacks, Bailey Zappe and Malik Cunningham. They've both been signed to the practice squad. More likely what will happen is this is just roster maneuvering. Zappe will get roster.
And they signed Matt Corral.
Oh, yeah. They did pick up Matt Corral, too. Most likely what's going to happen is Zappe will go to the active roster, and they'll keep Corral or Cunningham, whichever one they like more, on the practice squad.
Yep.
Kevin Harris and Ty Montgomery both to the practice squad for New England. And with the trade of Pierre Strong, who does that make the – is that J.J. Taylor the backup?
No, it's Zeke Elliott.
That's it. So there will be another – so Kevin Harris, I'm assuming, or Ty Montgomery will end up on the active roster before – they're not going to go in with just two running backs. There will be a third.
Yeah.
At one point. Corral's actually on the active roster. He was not signed to the
He was signed. He was signed as, like, signed, yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
You think they'll try to sneak him through waivers to the practice squad?
Maybe.
I mean, he just got signed by New England.
That's, well, okay. You're right. I'm
in. He hasn't been cut. Yeah. You think
they go in with Corral as the backup?
That's what it looks like right now. I mean, I'm surprised they're going only with it with two. I'm assuming they'll bring one of them up.
They do some
Malik or
that's got to be it. They'll still bring Zappe up and keep Cunningham.
Corral is probably just like
development
upside. Yeah, developmental upside play.
It's true. Maybe they had to give him a roster.
Not much
spot
to develop,
to get
but
him signed. Yeah, not much to develop. Not good.
He's got legs though. If he ever starts.
Remember when people thought he was going to be, he's got a cannon too. He just doesn't know where it's
going. Big arm. Yeah. Big arm. It can be maneuvered.
James Robinson cut from the Giants. Jamison Crowder cut from the Giants. Colin Johnson cut from the Giants. So they're taking care of, I mean, they cut their biggest receiver in Johnson, but
all non-slot receivers.
Crowder is a slot receiver.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Crowder. I mean, true. Fair point.
Zonovan Knight cut from the Jets, signed to the Detroit practice squad. He started some games last year. Favorite
of Bengals. Kick return right there now.
Okay. Yeah. Favorite of Bengals fans everywhere, Alex Erickson, was cut from the Jets and signed to the Rams practice squad. You should actually probably just promote him. You need receivers, bro.
and small ones, too.
Right?
Giant and combine darling Zach Kuntz is cut from the Jets. He's been signed to their practice squad, tight end, so that's not a lost cause yet. Dan Arnold cut from Philadelphia. Tyree Jackson, former quarterback, cut from Philadelphia, then signed to the Giants practice squad. Deion Kane cut from Philly. Tanner Morgan cut from Pittsburgh. Hakeem Butler cut from Pittsburgh. He's a wide receiver again, by the way, just in case you're curious. Tampa Bay cut Rodrigo Blankenship. Mike Badgley was cut by Washington. Tyler Beatty cut by Denver and put back on their practice squad. Lil Jordan Humphrey cut by Denver and put back to their practice squad. Another team that desperately needs wide receivers. They also signed David Sills after the Giants cut him to their practice squad as well. So watch Sills and Humphrey with Judy Hamler et al.
And Patrick off
and Patrick all missing time right now. So watch those practice squad receivers in Denver. Cole Beasley cut from the Giants to their practice squad. So they got two slot receivers.
Okay.
Two other guys. You mentioned Corral. He was cut and signed by New England. And then Jalen Reagor was also signed by New England.
Yeah. After there was rumors that Minnesota was potentially fielding phone calls of trade rumors. Reagor? A potential for Reagor.
What?
Somebody yes.
Bail sandwich that they wanted.
That to was like, in. That is has to be them just trying to drum up interest by putting out that note that they were receiving phone calls for Reagor. No one was calling about Reagor. Even maybe a team like CFL. Arizona trying to lose. Like,
the CFL might have been calling about him.
Reagor. What? Like,
the Argonauts were calling for him.
Bad. Bad. And then Albert O traded to Philly.
Did he end up getting traded after he was cut?
He got traded to Philly. 7th round pick and Albert O for a 6th round pick.
Nice.
Was the deal. So Philadelphia just loading up on athletic tight ends, apparently.
Apparently.
Beer review.
I don't know. Are Jack Stoll and Grant Calcaterra athletic?
I don't, but bless you.
Let's see.
I have no clue, man.
Those are the other two tight ends on the roster, so I'm just curious. Stoll's about average.
Who's left?
He's average. Good agility score. Anthony Fasano is his best comp.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Grant Calcaterra. He is pretty athletic. He's a Hayden Hurst comp. Pretty athletic.
All right. I'll take it.
Yeah.
For being kind of right.
110.4.
Wow. Yeah.
Athleticism pretty, score.
Pretty good.
Anyway, who wants to go first?
Oh, beer review. Ryan, why don't you give us your thoughts
on the Blue Moon? It like I did it without the orange slice because everyone always does it with the orange slice. And like you said, Dan, it's not a craft beer. It's just another beer out there. It's like, you know, your typical Budweiser, Miller's, all that. For me, though, the wheat ale, I didn't really taste anything that was like very wheaty. Like I'm used to like drinking like an Oberon. Oberon's like usually like a thicker type of wheat beer. And this one just kind of went down like too easy, too fast.
Because they're not the same.
Too easy, too fast. No.
They're not the same style. So right. Blue Moon's a Belgian wit beer. It's not Oberon's an American wheat. And
I'm gonna say like wheat wise.
Yeah, they have wheat as an ingredient. That's the commonality. But so do most hazy IPAs. So do yeah. they're two totally different styles. So that's why they're not close.
That's why it's so light.
Yeah. So Belgian wit beers are going to be more like their orange peel, coriander, white wheat. They're not going to have a lot of anything else in there. There's going to be a lot of wheat, maybe some Pilsner, and then you're usually going to have coriander seed and orange peel, which is why you typically drink it with an orange slice there.
Yes.
They're going to be like drier, more peppery, less full, real thin. An American wheat beer is going to be hoppier. So wits are not designed to focus on hops, whereas an American wheat beer is going to be hoppier. It's going to be juicier. You're going to get a little bit more full of a body, a little bit softer, a little bit more well-rounded. You can actually see Bell's is really good about homebrew. They put an Oberon clone recipe out there, and they actually have some adjunct malts and stuff in there that you wouldn't have in a wheat beer to help round it out and soften it up. But that's why. So they're both wheat beers, but they're completely different styles of wheat beers.
Wheat beers.
When you talk wheat and beers that focus wheat, you've got Hefeweizens, you've got any type of ice beer, you've got American wheats, you've got Belgian wits that are probably your most common ones, and those are all actually like pretty distinctly different, even though they focus on wheat.
Okay.
There's a lesson for the day.
Yeah, I learned something. You did the beer review for me.
You learned today. All right. Again, I am drinking Mill Ponds Oktoberfest for here. Again, Mill Ponds out of Millsette, Illinois. Great local for Hopper and myself. This is a really, really good representation on the classic American Marzen or Oktoberfest. Medium, light to medium-ish body. Really good color to it. It might be a little harder to see it on camera. It's going to come off
more red.
Dark. It's going to come off more dark on camera. But slightly sweet with still some of the softer, drier characteristics you would get from this style. Oktoberfests are a lot of them are cut from the same cloth. A lot of breweries can do really good representations of it. And right now you're at a great time to find many different styles to find of it. A lot of different representations are still out there. So if you like this style and for some reason you are around our area, I would try to pick this one up.
Note on Oktoberfest that we mention every year too. Pay attention to what style you are getting. A Märzen and a Fest beer are not the same thing.
Yes.
And they're going to be completely different experiences, but both will be commonly referred to as Oktoberfest. So
you don't see a lot of
what style you're getting.
You don't see a lot of Fest beers. I wish more breweries would do them. I've
seen a couple. Noon Whistle has one.
They're starting to pop up a little more.
Who was it? I think it was Four Hands had one. And
Polyander was typically the more not is it not poly is Polyander? Polyander or Weisschafiner were more the popular ones you see in retail.
Weinstefaner has one, and I think Monster Fest from Three Floyds is also a Fest beer, not a Märzen. So there's a few.
Okay. Is Monster Fest? I think you might be right. I think that sounds right, actually.
I think it is.
But the one difference is that the Fest beers are typically going to be lighter, readier.
More drinkable. You're going to get more dark.
The light version, effectively.
Toasted and like Munich caramely type notes out of a
Märzen.
Out of a Märzen.
Yep.
All right, Chris, before you say anything, what does your shirt say?
Sounds like it better with bourbon.
Okay, that's what I thought. Because that's how you pop up, and that's how you go right back down. I'm like, wait a minute,
that's popping up to change how it was sitting. So, yeah. So, as a reminder, I'm drinking Healing Station. It is a single barrel pick, 8-year cask strength. I'm from A1. It is 55, I think it's 55.44, no, 52.44.4 on the mash bill. So that in order is corn, rye, malted barley. On the nose, like I got a bunch of gooey caramel earlier. There's a little bit of like a must that typically comes out of dusty bottles, like old bottles, which is kind of nice to get on something newer, but it's got like a basement must to it. Like if you've ever walked into a basement of an old house, like that kind of like dusty smell.
actually complements bourbon kind of nice to go along with those gooey caramel notes.
Aroma is a definite thumbs up. Depth is a little bit lacking on the actual pour. The heat does show up. There is a lot of rye character to this, with it having a 44% rye mash bill. You get a lot more spice out of it than herbally notes. There are, you know, some black peppers, maybe a little bit of spearmint that comes to play there on the back end. The finish does hang out, but not as long as I would expect for a high rye. Overall, it's really, really solid. The Healing Station picks are often overlooked, and they shouldn't be. They have a lot of character to them. They're not, you know, they're not something that you're going to seek, but if you're looking for a good bottle and to try something different, I would definitely look their way. You know, this is one in particular that has some good character to it. Doesn't blow my socks off, but it's definitely a solidly above average drink.
Sounds delicious.
It's pretty good. It's very rye heavy.
I wouldn't mind that.
A little sweet, but
yeah,
really like rye heavy. All right. Last little bit is ADP. So a lot of guys going up, not a lot of guys going down. So what you're seeing here, basically, when you got guys going up and not a lot of guys going down, is there's just guys that are, a lot of these are guys I feel like are probably correcting more. I didn't look at what their current ADP is. I just looked at how far they moved. So for running back, Isaiah Pacheco's up 9 spots. I have no idea why that jump, other than more people are probably drafting on ESPN right now, and he's a Chief.
That's
because there's been no news around him. Like,
no, I don't think he has a no contact jersey. He hasn't been on. And every time he's wearing the no contact jersey, they're doing like pass plays and he's catching the ball. So people think he's going to be like this PPR
weapon.
RB2. Yeah, that's going to come out. It's like, no, it's still going to be McKinnon's game.
Yeah. So I think that's just a case of more drafting. Elijah Mitchell up 8 spots. I think that is because of the report that, you know, CMC is probably going to rest more. I think people are figuring out that's probably an RB3 flex type play, subbing in for CMC. Jalen Warren up 7 spots. Again, probably based on the fact that he's grabbing some hype off of Najee's performance last year. J.K. Dobbins up 7 spots. I think that's just still correcting because he's back in camp.
Yep.
Yes.
James Cook, 7 spots. There's been a lot in the media about the Bills just being fully committed to James Cook.
Yep, making him a 3-down like back.
Yep. So, and then them not bringing in Dalvin or anything like that, I think he's been solidified. And then Javonte Williams up 6.7 spots, so right around 7 spots. Again, he's still course correcting after the positive news around his injury, getting in, I think he got into a preseason game too. So, and then Breece Hall is up 6 spots again, probably just because people now know he'll be ready to play week 1. Just the workload's going to be different, but they're not expecting him to start on the, they know he's not starting on the pup or anything like that. Anything on any of those guys?
No, everything sounds about right.
All right. Here's a fun one for you. Deontay Johnson is up 12 spots. He's the biggest riser this week at any position.
Was it because of the last game?
What happened last game with Deontay Johnson?
It was just basically Deontay Johnson and George Pickens basically going 1-for-1. So is there, I wonder if there is there a position closer together now?
Well, Deontay is going higher than.
Yeah, Deontay's been Pickens. Going higher, so I would have expected Pickens to come up from that more so than Deontay.
I think it's just Deontay. I think it's a little bit of also course correction. He's been one of the more, I mean, obviously the production hasn't met with the targets, but he's such a heavy target getter. I think it's people also just coming to terms that Pittsburgh's, as much as they want to be more of a run-focused team with Matt Canada, I can't see them not throwing in a lot of these games. In a more uptick than that too. So Jonathan's going to be the possession style heavy targets, probably on a little more average than a guy like Pickens, but he'll have the big plays and you know, those big breakout touchdowns. Deontay's, what round is he going in that you're looking at, Hopper? Like, where did he move up to?
I don't know. I just told you I didn't check that. Hold on.
Okay. No, I can look then.
So ESPN's the only one that has ADP change on it. So that's what I'm
going.
He is 60.8, so 5-ish. But into the fifth, or like into the fifth.
FF Calc has a mess of 506. So yeah,
so this would be right. This would be the 508. So
yeah. Middle fifth. Yep. Yeah. And then Pickens is 6'10", so about a round behind him, which
that makes sense, I guess.
Makes sense, yeah.
All right. Other than Deontay, Sky Moore's up 9 spots. That's him being solidified as a starter, I'm sure. Jordan Addison's up 9 spots.
Health.
Yes, health and what he did.
Yeah, I think it's more
of the practice video.
Yeah, it's more, I think people not wanting to buy into the depth chart thing like they did with Jefferson when he was a rookie, just ignoring where his position is and know what he's going to be. He'll be the starter, or he may not start, but he'll have higher snaps than any other receiver that's not Jefferson or Osborne.
And he's still not super high. He's averaging 110, so 8th round, I think.
That would be, where is he on here? Yeah, 8th round sounds, yep, 8th round.
Yeah, the beginning of the 9th.
706.
So. Yeah.
706 and FF Kilk.
Somewhere between 7 and 9. So.
Yeah. He's going to keep moving up. He's a popular name.
He will keep moving up. Well, at least for another week.
Well, I mean, for the next three or four days.
We're doing. We'll never know.
Yeah.
Mike Williams up 8 spots. Jahan Dotson up 8 spots. Williams, I don't get. Dotson, I guess he made it through camp healthy. Dotson, I mean, if. Yeah, people believe in him. If you believe in Pickens, I think you should believe in Dotson, and vice versa. So he's carrying upward, and people like him as a sleeper. But the problem is when too many people get on somebody as a sleeper, somebody as a breakout, the value eventually goes away. He is up to round 7.
Dotson and Pickens 8. Are literally Dotson's on top of each other.
Yeah, Dotson's at 8.86, basically.
FF Kalkazim at 701.
Yeah, it's about a round difference.
Yeah, and then Pickens on here, 610. So very, very, very similar.
Cortland Sutton up 7 spots. That's with the injury to Judy, I'm sure. Tyler Lockett, 7 spots. That's with JSN starting on IA, or that's with JSN's injury. Zay Flowers up also 7 spots.
Rookie hype.
Zacherts up 6 spots. Still just adjusting for health, even though he might not be ready for week 1.
What do you go from like 250 to 244?
Well, I took a big jump last week too. So he went, let's see. He is up to 138. So round, let's see, that's round 12, 13, somewhere in there. Yeah, round 11. So double digit round still.
Yeah.
Guys going down, Jonathan Taylor down 11 spots. That'll
continue.
Expected. That's going to continue. Jerry Jeudy down 29 spots. Even after the news, he's not starting on the pup.
People are just afraid of his injury issue or of his injury history and then probably the injury itself and being more of a longer term problem, even though he may not miss a lot of games from it. But
yeah, he's down to pick 81. He's going near the end of the 6th. It's almost in value range, honestly.
Yeah, all based on where you. That keeps perceive, and then who else is around him too, right?
Yeah, that keeps trending. He'll be in value range.
Yeah.
And then the only other guy that's down, Treylon Burks, is down 12 spots.
That's they anything. He's hurt.
Yeah.
And injury history and all that fun stuff. All right. That's the show. For real. All right. Like, we're not going to let this go for a week again.
Sorry, guys. They're thinking that you're going to get a 167-hour stream. No. Nope.
Yeah, no, you're not. And sorry if you wanted 447, go get it on Spotify. It's been deleted from YouTube. And I'm not, don't care enough to go edit it and put it back. That's the show. We'll be back next week for some form of week one preview. Probably won't be game by game, but we'll talk week one. Probably just have a conversation. Thank you guys for tuning in. See you next week and stuff and whatnot.
Bye. See ya.
Week one. Woo.